Last week was a very strange week around the station here. A week unlike any I've experienced in my... Well, this is my 10th year here at KSTP. I don't think anybody experienced a week like last week. And by talking about what happened at the station, I mean the intensity of what was going on last week. There have been other big stories that have created a huge stir here over the last 10 years, but nothing that caused the level of emotion that was seen both on the air and in the hallways and offices. And it was a fascinating study of human nature, human response, human behavior. I'm in the talk radio biz, and my feeling on it is that last week the talk radio biz received a drug overdose. The drug was horror, presented nonstop, 24 hours a day, through every media outlet available. And I think we in this business OD'd. I OD'd last week. By Friday evening at 10 o'clock, I began to actually consider, just to show you the state of my overdose, I began to actually consider leaving the station for an extended period of time due to this overdose. Now, normally this time of year, I usually bug out, use the old depression excuse, and take an extended vacation. But damn it, I'm feeling good these days. I don't know why. Everyone else is depressed. But I wasn't going to use that excuse for taking some time off. I just began to consider, in the late hours, Friday evening, leaving the station for a period of time due to what I saw as an overdose. Now, in my case, it had to do with a growing feeling that this particular station was the wrong place for me, that it so dramatically represented something I couldn't abide, that I ought to get out, that it was simply incongruent to keep my hat in the same ring with everyone else. I didn't fit in. And I never felt that way quite like I did last Friday night. And this was due mainly to the 1-2 punch of the programs that sandwiched me here at KSTP. In my mind, and I am perfectly comfortable being wrong on this, in my mind, what was being said was so divisive, and talk radio has been divisive in the past, but I didn't think this was the time for us to be that way. It's a good thing to be, and it's what we do here, and it's often done with a lot of humor, but last week it was done with such anger, and at a time when, well, I just had a feeling that our enemies outside this country were jumping for joy if they were hearing about it. So, I couldn't figure out how I was going to fit in with this crew and stay happy. And I mean this. You want to be happy coming in and doing your job. You want to feel like this is where you're supposed to be. You belong here. I couldn't figure out how to do that, but I was pretty burned out, too. On one side of my program, I was hearing people who were ridiculing those attending prayer services, telling them to get off their knees and fight. I heard the entire world religion of Islam, the whole thing, 1.2 billion people, the whole religion, questioned in terms of its ability to be compatible with American culture, when in fact there are millions of Muslims right now who for years have been living quite compatibly with American culture. But there were these threats, some veiled, some not so veiled. And of course there you're getting into a threat to the very freedom of religion given us at our founding. And I heard the quote that if people out there are not willing to kill innocents, it's time to question their commitment to American culture. And I heard the belief that those responsible for this attack on our nation included Catholic nuns who protest at the School of the Americas. So on my way into work, I was hearing about an enemy that was not in Afghanistan, not even in another country. It was next door. It was across the street. My fellow Americans were my enemy for not thinking the right way. And this great divide was being made at a time, and this is what was so crucial, at a time when our enemies were never so clearly seen. Our enemy was terrorism. Not liberals or conservatives, terrorism. I felt like I was walking into a war waged against our own people. I felt a certain madness was taken over here. And then going home, glutton for punishment, I put the radio on again and I listened to the show that followed mine, and I got yet another view that so horribly clashed with my own values that I again wondered, what am I doing here? Is this the team I'm supposed to hook up with? Going home, I heard demands for the immediate nuclear annihilation of 5 countries, an indiscriminate nuclear holocaust on a scale that created ideal conditions for the end of civilization as we know it. And it wasn't hyperbole. The host meant it. And I don't know who was right and who was wrong, but I was definitely out of place. And I heard people calling up demanding internment camps, and a talk host letting it go unchallenged. And I wondered what the hell I was supposed to do. How did I get here? Who thought my show would be a nice fit at this station? How did that ever happen? I see why other guys were brought on board, but what the hell am I doing here? For me, from Tuesday morning on, I just figured, well, we have to support the president because what the hell do we know, really, about this complicated situation? Of all the times where your faith has to be put in your leaders, it's now. Grocery clerks, retail guys, salesmen, they're supposed to have the answers? Calling up talk radio shows? No. There are very few choices at a time like this. You have to finally take the great leap and put your faith in the people who you assign the job of leading you. And you have to say, lead. Lead now. Prior to this, you know, Monday morning, before this, didn't need a lot of leading that day. Tuesday morning, need a lot of leading. Lead. We're here. This one's a tough one. Average guy on the street's not going to have the answers, though they'll call up and say they have them. Anyway, I just figured we have to support the president, the administration. He and his team were calling for calm. They were calling for patience. That made sense. You know, in Poland was invaded by the Germans in 39. There was a case where if someone said, be patient, it really would have sounded absurd. Because you're invaded, they're in. You know, you better start running or start fighting, the bullets are flying. Our president, when he called for patience, had a little bit of luxury that the Poles didn't have in 39. Hitting the Atlantic and Pacific coasts right now en masse with amphibious landing craft were not a bunch of radical Muslim fundamentalists. It wasn't quite that kind of a war, so there was a bit of a luxury on his part to say, calm down. I definitely think it would have been absurd to tell the Poles to calm down in September of 39. Too late, they're in. War's going on. This war's so different, and that's why I think it's amazing how many people call up with answers already, 1 week into this thing. The guys running this country don't have the answers yet. They got ideas. They got some places they're going to start. But answers? Hell no. So Bush and his crew are calling for calm. They're calling for patience. And I understand that. I figure it's a dicey situation. It's a tricky enemy. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism. Nope. Not going to have many answers myself. And I thought by supporting the president, I actually thought I was moving closer to my colleagues by doing so. But they then moved further away yet into areas that seemed to me dangerous. And again, for me, from my vantage point, profoundly irresponsible. Fueling the rage of listeners already a bit on edge, and in some cases perhaps on the verge of doing something desperate. I think there are some pretty desperate folks who listen to this station, and I think we have the power, sad as it may sound, once they get all wound up, to send them off in one direction or another. And what we say in times like this really matter, because... Well, I'll just put it this way. People call up, they don't call up this show, thank God, and say this, but they call up other shows and say this. What should we do? I think they don't call up and ask me because I have a BA in journalism. Anyway, so, they call, and they want their marching orders. They call up and they want their marching orders. Well, imagine that power. Anyway, they seem to move further away from me, my colleagues. And these people were calling up asking, what should we do? Well, looking for their marching orders. And I heard a host speak of a 5-point plan, and I said to myself, 5-point plan? You're a talk show host. We have a joint chiefs. We have a president, a secretary of defense. We have people at the Pentagon for that, don't we? But that's not where people were being told to turn. The talk hosts seemed to think they had the answers. For the entire week last week, that notion terrified me. I felt as though a strange thing had taken over around here. And I felt as though sliding in between these two shows, I was jumping in with a group I no longer could relate to. I couldn't connect with. I couldn't understand them. They had left me far behind. So I put in a call to my boss on Friday night with the thinking that it might be best to take a little time off from the job to figure out just how I fit in around here, if I fit in. Then I went home, having left a message on his answering machine. And over the weekend, I got the hell out of town, which was the best thing I could have done. Got out to the country, where I'm always happiest. And I talked to a lot of people out there, all sorts of different people. People who helped put things in perspective for me. I also talked to the boss by phone from out in the country. He got a hold of me on Sunday. And I learned that he, too, had headed out Friday. Same deal. Got out in the country. He jumped on his motorcycle, found a certain piece, and just tearing off into the woods. And he agreed that what had happened in the talk radio biz last week was a sort of overload. And everyone was affected, and it sent tempers racing and rising and put people at each other's throats, and that it was a result of just too much too fast and very little time to process it all. And then I learned of things a lot of other people around the station were saying on air and off the air, and I found more tempered views. I found the same determination, but without the wild vitriolic diatribes. And I figured out that by driving in and listening to the radio and driving home and listening to the radio and only catching two KSTP shows, I had taken in a skewed view of where the station was coming from as a whole, that it wasn't nearly so extreme across the board. And what happened over the weekend is I got away from this boiling tea kettle and got out amongst people who were just average Americans, people you find out in the country, thoughtful, hopeful, wonderfully patriotic in their respect for the intelligence this country can still draw upon, the wisdom that it can draw upon from its leaders at times like this. People who were heeding the president's request to be patient, to be calm, to take on that sort of quiet, steely resolve that is often when we're at our best, a determination to end this thing, but to do it using our heads. And, of course, how many of them, our leaders, how many of them have told us time and time again, it's going to take time, settle down. We got to come up with well-thought-out strategies, sound reasoning. We're going to need a lot of support. Can't do it alone. We got to have a multi-pronged approach. There's not just one answer to this. And they were telling us this, and my sense was, yeah, you're smart guys. I see it. And our leaders, the ones who've been handed this task, I don't know who out there envies their position. I sure as hell don't. You feel for them. You have empathy for them. They got this whole big ball hanging in space on their shoulders, the whole damn thing. And obviously we need not make our fellow Americans the enemy. When the enemy is becoming so clearly defined, terrorists and those who aid them. Bingo. Anyway, by Sunday night, having a beer looking out over a lake in Wisconsin, I figured I too went a little mad last week. I let the words of those around me lead me to believe that somehow they represented a significant majority of this nation or even this city, and tonight I know better. And I think we all agree, I'm pretty sure we all agree, that plumbers and car salesmen and doctors and cab drivers and insurance agents don't have the answers any more than talk hosts do. But those who we've given the task of finding the answers are doing so right now as I speak, and doing so as swiftly as possible without making matters worse. And we're stuck with the leaders we have. We put them in there and we'll survive or be destroyed on the basis of their abilities, their intelligence, their wisdom, their guidance. For better or worse, they're in charge of this mess, and we best start helping them and not begin coming up with our own best private little strategies that we thought of at home with a pen and paper in bed or something. I don't know where they come from. As though we have better credentials on international political matters, better insight. We also best start realizing that none of us really wants to live in a country where everyone thinks exactly the same way about everything, do we? Do we really want that? If I made it that way tomorrow, you might be happy for a day, but I guarantee you it'd get old. There may be more than one way out of this. The very people running this country will tell you that. And they'll tell you that good people can disagree without being unpatriotic or without being made scapegoats for what got us into this thing. What got us into this thing is the existence on this earth of evil, something that's always been here. The evil is not in our neighbor across the street who thinks differently or has another idea on how to fight this or another approach. And our enemy is not the mother scared about the future of her children and them going off to war, Or the person who thinks, well, we ought to slow down a little bit. Making a statement like that doesn't make one an enemy. That's just a thought they have. And some would say a reasonable one. Our president would. The enemy is not left wing or right wing. It's evil. It's a force operating so far outside the boundaries of civilized behavior that somehow it can justify tearing the burning flesh off innocent souls just going about their day on a sunny September morning. And tearing that flesh off them with a kind of glee. That, I don't know if there's an... how much more evil gets than that. That's an enemy. It should be staggeringly clear. Last week here on Talk Radio, so much of the fighting was with each other, fighting with each other, with other Americans. And that's when you know the terrorists are winning. When they got us doing that. So I don't want to, I don't want to fight anymore with fellow Americans. Figure it, Jason Lewis and Bob Davis found themselves waking up Tuesday morning terrified, scared, fearful. So did I. So right off the bat, we have that in common. And they knew that what they had to do with their show was help foster some kind of crusade to make sure this never happened again. So we had that in common. And every American thought that way. So right there was a certain unity. And Jason and Bob last week felt a deep love for this place we call home. This chunk of land with its mountains and its prairies and its... And it's good people. And everybody felt it, because it's our home, and it's where our kids live. What happened by Tuesday evening was all over America. The ideas, the thoughts, the directions on where to go with this thing, what to do, they all shot off in a million different directions. And all the directions were intended to do the same thing, just keep it from happening again. And that's the way it's always going to be. There's always going to be 1,000 different ideas. We're made too differently. We have different experiences that teach us, and they teach us different lessons, so we come up with different ideas. So, Bob Davis doesn't really want to kill little Afghani babies just coming into this world. He doesn't want to see women running through the streets with their skin peeling off from a nuclear attack. He just wants the attack on our country to never happen again, and in his mind somehow concludes that there's but one way. Our president's plan, or the words of the Joint Chiefs of Staff calling for patience or telling us it'll take time, doesn't alleviate his fear or his hurt or his anger. So he goes to where he sees it might be alleviated, and that's what he advocates. He sees no other way out. And we're all looking for that same place, that place where pain and hurt and anger and fear will be alleviated. I get to my place a different way. I see no other approach than turning to our leaders and saying, lead, lead, you have to. That's why we put you there. You fail, the whole thing fails. I'm no military general. I'm no defense secretary. I'm no president. I'm no vice president. I'm no learned terrorist expert. I'm no special forces operative. I'm no CIA director. Not a house member, a senator, an ambassador, an international diplomat. I'm a freaking talk radio host. I can't possibly ask people to come to me for answers. I'm not a priest, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a great philosopher, not a wise old man in a rocking chair, I'm not the town elder, I'm no statesman, I'm not an elected leader, I'm a talk show host. That's all we are here. Don't turn to us. Don't turn to us for answers. We're talk show hosts, for crying out loud. Your nation has leaders. They'll be making decisions that will determine the future for all of us. You best start looking to them. They're either going to save you, or they're going to lose you. You best start praying for them. You best start going to your churches and synagogues and your mosques before you camp at the altar of talk radio. On this particular issue, me and the people who do what I do are some of the least qualified people you could possibly turn to. This ain't our field of expertise. I was driving a delivery van before I got into this gig. Bob Davis was a music radio station consultant. Jason's got a master's degree in political science. I think we're going to need a bit more than that. We could talk a good game on taxes, housing, gun control, but this is the big leagues now, folks. There's no screwing around here. The ante's been upped. This ain't gun control or tax ranting. You know what talk radio is, commercial talk radio? It's a medium that's primarily entertainment-oriented. Solid, valuable information on this particular crisis we're in now is best disseminated by the learned folks we might have on as guests, but not by the talk hosts themselves. No war has ever been won by a radio talk host. No great crusade led to victory by radio talk hosts. No population saved by radio talk hosts. Look to us if it makes you feel better, if it gives you a little comfort, if it helps you sleep. But not to save your lives. Can't do it. You're looking to the wrong people. Those people who will save your life are at work right now, as I speak, trying to do so. But they're not in a talk booth with a microphone. Thank God. So I'm back on the air tonight because I think most Americans get this. I really do. Over the weekend, I was renewed by the sense that no talk show host is expected to save us, according to most Americans. Yeah. For the most part, this nation is made up of a group of people who don't give a damn what we in this biz think. What we in this business think the next strategic move should be. Those looking at talk radio those looking at talk radio for the answers are really the fringe in this country. It's a scattered few compared to the population as a whole, and I figured that out. Anyway, my president this week advised me and all Americans to get on with our lives, and I intend to do so, and I will go back to doing the radio I did before this happened, and I thank you people for tolerating me these last 7 days, and I have blown off several commercial breaks now, and news, and so I'm not even that good at being a talk show host, really.